Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Have you heard the good word of Mario Maker? Sorry. I had that handy. I just wanted to do that. So, yes, how's it going?
Not bad. I'm a little bit confused by your intro there, but
that's usually what happens when somebody comes to the door, right?
Like that is true.
It's a Friday at 10 a.m. I'm in my PJs. I'm off the work playing Destiny. Off the work. Suddenly, a Walmart greeter. Anyways, moving on.
We have a fantastic guest with us tonight. It is the winner of the TGI guest spot from the Alpha Geek Indiegogo campaign. Joining us tonight, we have the one, the only, the wonderful Janice Edwards. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having the perk on Indiegogo.
Oh, you're welcome. Our pleasure. I'm really excited. We are going to talk about a whole bunch of really cool stuff tonight. We're going to get into some Destiny. We're going to get into some fall and holiday releases. But first, Janice, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am new to gaming, as in I graduated college the year the PC came out. Now I just dated myself. Yes.
Oh, cool.
So I've come into gaming late. I got into gaming when I looked at a friend's computer and he was playing World of Warcraft, and I thought that was the most beautiful thing I had seen.
World of Warcraft, I feel like, is a lot of people's like gateway drug. It came out at like just the right time.
Yes. I also played some, got interested in some first-person shooters, and I'm not going to think of it right now. And yes, I had a knock on my door a little while ago, and a package dropped, and I have a statue of the orc that is in front of Blizzard. I've had a subscription enough that they sent me the lovely little
Wow, you were one of the people that got the 10-year statues?
Yes, and I didn't have to buy it off eBay like Scott did.
That's great. I feel bad because I played WoW like when it launched and then was sporadic. So I think if I had just dropped like another maybe, I'd say probably only like maybe a couple hundred that I missed out on. Like that's how long I've been subscribed. So that statue looks so cool and would go so well with all the other little statues I have. So that's awesome.
So how much do they go for on eBay? Like, could you just like figure it out how much subscription time you missed and then somehow like justify it to Ashley?
Probably not, because I think they're going on eBay. Like they're limited quantities, and anybody who put that amount of time and effort into World of Warcraft for 10 years, like to see them sell that, I could see it maybe like probably like over 1,000. That might be lowballing it.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they were under 1,000, because really, yeah, you're right. Like 10 years of WoW subscriptions, that's like a lot of dollars. I can't imagine somebody just parting with that and being like, yeah, you know, whatever, I've been sub to WoW for 10 years, but I don't really like it that much, so I'm just gonna sell my statue.
That would be
yes, and it was like, I don't want to think about what that sub cost for 10 years, just not, that's entertainment value, and I've gotten to know some real good friends, and
People see a movie once a month, let's say. Like, that's way more than $15. So I've always seen the WoW subscription as, like, you're going to spend a bunch. If you're a gamer, you're spending a lot of money on video games. Like, and $15 a month to play one video game is nothing compared to what a lot of people are spending, especially if you're living in Canada where things cost an extra $15 for each little thing you buy. So
that's true.
Yeah, if I was just, there were moments when I was only playing WoW and I was only spending $15 a month on my hobby, and those were good months. So
oh my god, stop the presses. Jim in the chat room says there's one of the statues on eBay with a buy it now price of $350. What? Gotta go.
350. Tweep saying 235. That's what? crazy.
Some people just, I don't know, maybe their significant others have said you're not allowed to have any more Warcraft crap. We have enough statues in this house.
That's crazy.
Oh man, I want to look at, not that we don't believe you, Jim, but I really want to look at this, and I'm totally not buying it right now.
I'm just looking, trying to get a closer look at it. Like the only way I could explain $350 for a new statue, did they get like a little poop on it maybe? Like, and well, it's not in the picture.
Does it have a little poop on it, really?
Well,
talk to Scott. He was saying that he could 3D printer some stuff.
Yeah? Huh. Oh, yeah. Mm. You get it, and it's just like plastic. It just falls apart in your hands. No. That's an expensive piece of plastic.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm sure they'll sell them at some point, like some equivalent statue. But, yeah, eBay, man.
Very, very cool. So you said you've been playing WoW for like 10 years. So do you play both sides? Did you start Alliance, go Horde? Did you start Horde, go Alliance?
I started Alliance because the friend at work had an Alliance. And I started as a druid, as a healer. And then I switched jobs and they needed a mage. And so I'm going to plug my name and my Twitch channel, Lady Deathstrike. But it was too long. So I took the vowels out.
Which is such a cool, like when you sent it to me in an email, like, oh yeah, here's my handle. I was like, huh, I don't really get it. And then you're like, it's Lady Deathstrike without any. I'm like, oh my God, I love it. It's from the person who is terrible at naming all the things, who's just her name with plays on the end. This is just, Lady Deathstrike is so cool.
So yeah. I have Lady Death Knight with no vowels, and that's my current main. And then my Twitch channel is Lady 50. Because Lady Deathstrike was sort of long, so you'll see me in channels as in Twitch channels as Lady 50.
Oh yeah, I've seen you all over the place, and it's LDY, right? It's not full day. Yeah, so LDY50. If you guys want to go follow her, which you totally should, cool. It's really exciting that you're getting into the whole podcasting, streaming, putting yourself out there thing. Is there, you know, anything specifically that you're going to be talking about, or anything that you are aiming to do with your channel?
I want to do Hearthstone. I want to get to Legend. I haven't had put the time in. I want to help with people learning that. I'm really bad at Heroes. I just run around and die a lot. I really liked you twitching Until Dawn. And I probably won't twitch Destiny because I'm really bad first-person shooter. I yell a lot. And do podcasts, you know, just sort of see what's out there and with the gaming and put a little different perspective on it.
Very cool. So you mentioned playing Destiny, which is awesome because that's the game we're going to talk about with what we're playing, because I think all three of us actually had a hand at Destiny and we're in three different places, I think. So I started at the very beginning. I played through the demo. Ryan, I think you had Destiny right from the beginning, so you have like a level higher than me character.
Yeah.
I saw you at like 30, 35 or something like that.
Yeah, so I'm at 35. Like, I had picked it up. The game unfortunately came out. I was really looking forward to it being a Bungie fan, and it came out like 2 weeks before, 2 weeks before the wedding. And then I played like a week and I was like, this is fun, but I've got to do prep for bigger things. And then like I got back from the honeymoon, everyone just stopped playing. So
yeah,
but I did pick it back up just a week ago and I'm back. I'm all in, so it's fantastic.
And Janice, you mentioned you just got the Destiny bundle with your PS4, right? So you just picked that up recently,
yes,
right?
I just picked the PS4 up on Thursday. No, it was Wednesday. I set it up on Thursday, took four plus hours to download all the stuff.
Yep. It's a big first day, that's for sure.
I remember that.
And I started playing on Friday, first time ever playing. I do have a friend that plays it a lot, but I tried not to ask him questions until Sunday.
So where did you end up? What level are you at?
I'm at 33.
Oh, Ryan.
I rolled a hunter, but the problem is I started at 1, but with the expansion, you get an auto level to 25.
Oh, okay.
So did you go 25 to... No, you said you started at 1, but you do
I leveled to 2, and then you get to the tower.
Yep.
And then you look in the mailbox, and then you have the thing to jump you to 25.
Oh, okay, I see.
That's cool.
So you skipped everything from 2 to 25, and then you leveled from 25 to 33.
Well, so, I'm going back, and do I get to say where I'm stuck?
Sure.
Yeah.
I have no quests. So there's two quests that I got. So I just decided to do all the low-level quests because I'm just sort of a completionist. So I did the level quests. I think it scales to your level because I'm at the last boss of the two quests and I'm doing it by myself. I have no friends, doing it by myself, and I can't get the last boss.
Mm.
So I go, okay, you know, I've done MMOs. Let me go do some more stuff. Maybe I need more gear and stuff. And I have no other quests are available to me.
Yeah, the game is really weird in that it's I jumped back in from scratch at level one before Taken King came out. So we had the Destiny 2.0 patch, but we didn't have that jump. So when I came in, it felt very linear in that they gave you the quest and you just kept following the goalposts until there was no more content or until Taken King came out. Or, well, until you gave them $80 so you could play the expansions in the Taken King. But I would find it interesting, yeah, to boost to 25 and then it sounds like they still give you those quests to kind of do the old content. And in terms of they do scale the content a little bit, but I wonder if that where you're stuck is maybe you're trying to do, there are specific missions called strikes that have they require multiple people. So I'm wondering if maybe that's the boss that you're stuck on, because even with three people doing those strikes, it was like World of Warcraft, where you're not used to it when you play, like, say, Halo or other first-person shooters, where when you shoot something, it takes a couple bullets to the head and it does a funny animation and dies. Whereas in Destiny, you have to shoot something sometimes, like, for good on 20 minutes, and it's sometimes the worst thing in the world. But it's MMO, right? That's just how it works. So I think I was doing a strike, and the boss was, like, this giant robot with a big shoot me here button on its chest. And me and my allies were sitting there for like 10, 15 minutes just shooting this thing in the chest while dodging, you know, ads. Maybe that's what was going on. You were fighting a boss on a strike instead of a mission. But I find it weird that they just, that you have no quests. That's unfortunate.
So I did my reading and research. And mm-hmm. So you can go to the planets. Sure. Right now I'm back to Cosmodrone since it's low level. And just doing, you know, the side quests and stuff, but I'm still stuck. Oh, but okay. The stuff's dropping level appropriate gear, which is why I think all the stuff has been, you know, looks at my level and then does it, you know, auto scales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gear drops auto scale. So you are getting, no matter what you're doing, you're getting loot for your level. So with the boost to 25, like, yeah, you're getting loot. Have you tried going to different planets, like to the moon, which is?
I've been to the moon, and I've got one. I've got one stuck at the moon. I've got one stuck at I want to say Cosmo, whatever. The first one.
Earth
Starter
yeah, or,
Zone.
Yeah, the Earth, yeah, the Cosmodrone or something.
Yeah, and I haven't gone to another planet because I would just do strikes, and I'm sort of stuck. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go do that, but I'm not finding quests.
Yeah. Hmm. So what? Before we get too far into it, what classes did you guys actually choose? Because I ended up choosing a warlock, which was not normally the kind of thing that I would choose. I literally saw Hunter, and I was like, I always hunt things. I should totally do that. And then I scrolled over to Warlock, and it was like talking about like bending the universe. And I was like, sweet. Yes, please. Yeah. So what roles did you guys pick?
I went Hunter, but it's Janice, you picked Hunter as well, so I'm interested to hear what you think about.
Oh, I'm so glad I did something different.
Yeah, I did a warlock when I first started like a year ago, and they're a badass class. But what do you think of the Hunter, Janice, being your first sort of class in Destiny?
I like it. I like the turning into a ghost and then meleeing everything down like crazy, like a crazy banshee. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like it.
You can go invisible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's pretty cool.
You can
cool.
run around real fast. It's cool. And I like it. I mean, I looked at all the stuff. They can all do melee. They can all shoot stuff. My friend that I asked, he said probably a pistol or sniper rifle because I think they're supposed to be more at range than actually getting up in there and being melee. But since I like playing a tank in World of Warcraft, I sort of can't resist going in there and punching stuff in face, especially when it dies faster than when I shoot it.
Yeah.
I found that really interesting when you get the choice of your weapon right when you're at the tower. It was really, really cool to me. I'm like looking at all the different descriptions, and it's like, this is good if you're like writing a big, huge, like bunch of ads. And then this one's really good if you're wanting to shoot from far away, like sniper rifle style. Then you have like hand cannons and shotguns that are better for like really, really close range. And I was just like, it's really cool that these are all, because it was like the get your weapon warlock quest. And it's like, I can basically take my class and then play it any way that I want to. If I want to be somebody who gets way up close, I can do that. If I want to be someone who's way far away, I can do that too. Mm-hmm. So it was really, really neat. And then I would get in these fights and I would get absolutely swarmed. And then it's like, it pops up and it's like, press whatever it is, R1 or something to melee. And all of a sudden I'm just like, boom, force push. And I was like, I have the coolest melee attack ever.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. I remember when I was a warlock, the force push is really cool. But the reason
it's
I
so
went...
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but... The reason I went Hunter was because you get a ranged melee that recharges. So if, depending on the subclass you pick, because each class has two subclasses when you start. So did you just pick the default that it gave you, or did you go in and kind of switch?
I did pick the default. There was only one available to me, and I'm wondering if that's because it's the demo.
Oh, yeah, the demo probably. What about you, Janice? Did you go in and flip the switch, or did you just stick with the gunslinger for the hunter?
No, I flipped the switch because I read a post before I started playing, and it said best thing to do because then you get the shell, because I guess the hunter eventually gets the shell that protects, no, gets the one that chains mobs.
Oh yeah. So because you boosted and did some Taken King stuff, you probably switched to the new subclass that the hunters have, which is I don't know, maybe it's like something to do with void powers, but it's basically summed up with a purple bow and arrow, and it's all just this like shadowy bow and arrow. I haven't even got that yet. I started to level up as the subclass was the gunslinger, which basically allowed you, the coolest thing is you could throw a knife. So your melee actually, as it regens, can become, rather than a force push, it becomes you just chuck a knife, and it's super satisfying when you nail someone in the head with that, and they die, and it's like, raid over, everybody.
Because I just knifed a dude in the face.
Yeah, without even getting up all close and personal. Yep. But I ended up switching to the Blade Master, because I didn't really like the Gunslinger, which is basically the golden gun power. I much preferred the get in everybody's face and just chop suey as much as you can. It was really, it's just really cool. And I think that's the best way I described Destiny when I first started playing it, when they were advertising it, was that it felt like the powers of Mass Effect made into a whole game, but more like more action packed, as opposed to Mass Effect being more cold and calculated. It felt like this was just utter mayhem, shooting guns, felt like a really good first-person shooter.
Well, yeah, because you don't have to do any, like, with Mass Effect, because that was how I felt, too. You know, like, I've got my gun, I'm shooting things, and then all of a sudden I can do, like, magic powers, and that was really cool. Mm-hmm. But in Mass Effect, you've got, like, all your squad organization, and you're telling people who to attack, and you've got that level of combat, and you don't have that. You're just a solo first-person shooter thing in Destiny, so you don't have that level of, my cat's going crazy right now, you don't have that level of kind of extra combat stuff going on, so it feels like a much more streamlined experience. And I mean, I literally sat down to play Destiny and I had no problems whatsoever from, like, as soon as I sat down. I have had issues with every single other game I've gone to play on the PlayStation. This one, I just sat down and I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, I, before it even told me what the reload button was, I was like, boom, reload. Like, it was exactly where I thought all the controls were supposed to be. They did what I thought they were supposed to do, and I was just like, yes, finally a PlayStation game I can sit down to and just play. Like, I really enjoyed, I mean, I only had a couple hours in it, but I really, really enjoyed my experience. Once I got it going, I had some issues today, but...
And keep in mind, you do have to mash the touchpad button to get the nav mode to open up, but it's not as key. I remember, like, where's the map button?
So oh, yeah.
If you do mash that.
I'm getting more and more used to understanding that the touchpad actually is a button in and of itself.
Yeah. It's not a touchpad. It's a giant button.
Like, yeah,
when do they ever use? I remember, I think, the first game that came out on PS4, which was, I played Assassin's Creed Black flag, and that was how you scrolled the map around, and it was the worst. Yeah. Like, wouldn't it just be easier to use the joypad? It's like, no, just use your finger. It's just, we had to tick this box. It's okay.
It's way intuitive. Don't worry.
Yeah, so they dropped that like a hot potato, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. The demo sounds, is it like on par with what Diablo 3's demo was? Like, it's an intro quest leading up to the first boss, and then they're like, thank you for playing Destiny.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't actually played another demo. Usually I just buy games and then play it for a few hours and see if I like it. This is the first time in a really, really long time that I've actually played a demo, so I don't know what Diablo's was actually like.
Well, you play the beta.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess, that's the only... I never played Diablo.
Beta is different, though, than demos. But no, it was really straightforward. It was easy to get into. I really enjoyed it. And I didn't ever feel like my experience was... Like, I really hope that I just kind of am able to buy it and continue that character, because I don't feel like I missed anything at all in the demo.
I think
other than potentially, like, having the ability to unlock other abilities. But I really loved the experience. It was fun. Like I told you via text, I got to I had to go back down to the planet after the tower and get my warp drive. And I died, which is another thing I really liked, because I find often in video games, I don't die. Like, I mean, the difficulty level felt perfect. I didn't feel frustrated, but at the same time, it was hard enough that I actually died once. And then I was like, oh, I can't just randomly run through this open field, because I will pull everything and then they will kill me, because you can't have cover from every single angle.
Yeah, I've died a bit too, like from time to time, but... Yeah, it never feels the only time it feels frustrating, and I don't know, Janice, if you've been into the Crucible yet, which is the PvP mode. That's the only time I get frustrated with the game, is that everybody's just better than me. You know, and they're also max leveled and they have max gear. Now the gear, I think, is normalized. It's only the weapons and the weapons abilities that actually give you an edge, and your own abilities for that matter. But have you tried the Crucible at all, Janice? Like, you jump in there and start shooting other people?
I have not. Mm-hmm. I had 20 deaths in a session on Sunday, and I go, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore, because I kept trying to figure out how to get to that last boss. But I'm not very good in PvP, but I do die a lot in WoW, so I will probably jump in and do that. And thank you for letting me know where my throw knives are, because I have a bounty to throw knives and I couldn't figure out how I was going to get that.
So now, yeah, so you have to switch your... That's the other thing too, is that in this game you are tied to one class, but you can change your subclass whenever you want. So when I get into the Taken King with my character, I'll be able to switch to the new subclass and start leveling that one up. And for those who like every aspect of death, and should probably state this for everyone. It's like, don't worry, you're not listening to an episode from last year. Like, this is the reason Destiny's doing it. We're talking about Destiny now, is that they've actually made a lot of improvements that make the game much easier and friendly to play. Like, a year ago, Destiny was not a hot mess, but just like uncomfortable. And that's why a lot of people have like a love-hate relationship with the game. And, but now it's in a good place. So that's why we're talking about it now.
It's basically mirrored exactly what happened with Diablo. Like, Diablo came out, some people went kind of crazy for it for like a week or two. You had your super hardcore people, because there are super hardcore Destiny people who are like, it's the greatest game ever made of life, and anyone who doesn't like it is just not a gamer and crazy balls.
Yeah, they're pretty volatile, but
they are a really, really hardcore group. So. Yeah. And there was that kind of core fans of Diablo that were the same way, that after Diablo 3 came out, it was like just, all in for a few weeks. And then it really died off, because there were a whole bunch of these kind of like quality of life things that Diablo was missing. So when patch 2.0 or Diablo 3 2.0, whatever, came out, it was Loot 2.0. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
I can't remember the actual patch number.
It was literally what happened with Destiny. Like, like you're saying, it's... The Loot 2.0 was Destiny 2.0. Like, it's the exact same thing, where they pre-expansion released a bunch of quality of life improvements into the game, and a lot of people were able to benefit from that, including myself. And you two had just picked up the game after that. Like, this is the best time to play. And anybody who goes around saying like, "Oh man, I played Destiny back in my day," it's the same thing as World of Warcraft. Like, "Oh, I played World of Warcraft back when you had to wait till you were level 40 and it cost 500 gold to get your training." Like, what? That's unheard of. That sounds terrible.
Yeah. And do you remember when you had to collect arrows?
Oh yeah.
No. Yes.
Do you remember when raiding was 40 people? Yeah, no, yeah. It's better for the game. And now I'm seeing, and this is what I'm saying, so it sounds, Jocelyn, it sounds like you're going to pick up the game. That's good.
I think so.
We have to start a raid. So
yeah.
Us three, Evan will play, so we have an Australian on our team. That's good.
Excellent.
Jocelyn convinced Kearney to play, so we just need one
Hopefully. More.
Did he
actually say yes? I can't remember.
Who?
I don't think so. Kearney.
He didn't say yes, but I'm saying you could convince him.
Oh, I see.
I didn't really try. I just asked, "Hey, Kearney, do you want to play debt?" And he just, no. I didn't even finish it. So maybe he'll let you finish the actual question. Can we play Destiny?
If I say please, I'm sure he'll say yes.
Oh, I didn't say please. Man, he is a man of principle, so... No, I'm really looking forward to playing more Destiny and actually trying some of the stuff that I never actually got to experience and never thought I would experience, similar to in WoW with raiding, where you need six friends. There's no matchmaking. You have to create a party and go in. And it's a literal raid, like just like World of Warcraft, where you have to know like boss mechanics and layouts of mobs and... Little tricks here and there
I'll stick to PvP.
Well, see, there's PvP as well. So you can do really whatever you want. So, and it's only six people, Jocelyn, that you have to organize. You don't have to organize 10 to 15. It'll actually work out this time.
How come I'm the one who does the organizing and the raid leading? Can I not just go pew, pew, pew people in PvP?
I'm the one that said we'll get six people together, but we can all do it. We can all share the burden of being awesome raiders. And there's only three raids, and we'll out-level two of them pretty quickly. Like, Vault of Glass is 26, so Janice and I have that knocked out.
Yeah, you're already, yeah.
And I think Crota's End is, like, probably...
I hit, 30. Like, level 4, I think.
Oh, so. you're going to boost through it. If you play the original content, like, I was 20 and through the content in maybe three or four sittings, so...
What's the max level in Destiny? We never really covered that.
It's 40.
It is 40. Okay. I wasn't sure. Yeah. 40 was the highest that I saw, but I was like, he was surrounded by people who were like down like 10 and below because it was in the tower part. And I was like, huh, I wonder if that's max level or if he's just like a lobby like us. Turns out max level.
Fair 40, 40 is max. And then after 40, it goes into the light system where you're constantly trying to collect gear to make your character better. But they've already done some...
So that's like, oh crap, what are they called in Diablo? Diablo has it too. Not prestiging.
Paragon.
Thank you.
But it's more related to eye level, like in WoW, where you're constantly trying to get, oh, I need a eye level of 675 so the dragon doesn't eat my brains. Like, yeah, okay, we'll try that.
674, not good enough.
No, the dragon is just going to eat your brains. You need to get replace that purple scarf. What are you doing? But
that's the kind of gaming I like, where I need one more eye level point for some total random reason.
Well, like I said, there are only three raids, so we don't even have to worry about raids. We can just go in there and enjoy story content and do dailies and all that fun stuff.
Again, I haven't logged into WoW in probably...
Well, when I say dailies, I mean fun dailies.
I'm like, you're really not selling it. Like, I love Warcraft and I love my guild. So if that's not even enough to get me into an MMO to do dailies, then probably not going to play Destiny.
What if I told you the dailies weren't boring and eye-melting and it was basically just shooting stuff in the face?
Well,
got you there, don't I?
You could maybe get me on board for that. Yeah. Maybe
it's like the crew. It's like PvP, except you're fighting stuff that isn't as smart.
That is predictable
and easier to kill.
I'd rather PvP.
Oh, PvP! Everyone's so good.
That's the point.
They're too good. You get in there and they're shooting your head off before you even like pop a cap in their ankle. It's no fun,
dude. I like Call of Duty.
Like, well, then you're going to love PvP in Destiny. Can you actually play the PvP in the demo? I wonder.
I don't know. I haven't been pointed that way yet, but that doesn't mean that it's not available. Although it kind of depends like what the max level is. I can't imagine that if you can only get to like level 4 in the demo, if they would let you go in PvP, because you just get your face melted. So yeah. Might not be. Unless there's some like special demo PvP arena or something.
Yeah, well, the PvP is what is normalized. So your level, there's no level advantage unless you're no.
Well, yeah, but like any gun or any gear that I would have would be like way under level. So yeah. I'd be like doing 12 damage with my gun, and then yeah.
See, so Kearney said he would play with us. See, sorry, Janet. I was just reading chat here. Evidently, I didn't ask nice enough. I just had to. I just had to. That's why I queued Jocelyn up. Like, Jocelyn has no interest in Kearney playing. I asked her nicely to ask him nicely. So that's how it works. Anyways, go ahead, Janice.
So as PvP, you queue up, you go in, and then it puts you on a team and you do teams, or
yeah,
I'm gonna go do that tonight. That sounds exciting. I do like Call of Duty. I did play Call of Duty Ghosts, and so it's like I need to shoot people in the head.
Oh, see, you guys will be. And that's the other thing too, is that we can create pre-mades and go in as three players. But if you're matching in on your own, there's tons of options. Especially since you own Taken King, you can go in and play different modes, from free for all to just team based shoot 'em ups to control, which is part of my favorite, which is like capturing little.
Oh, like hills. Capture the Flag? Oh, I love Capture the Flag.
I think there's a variation on Capture the Flag. There's one called Rift, where it's kind of like rugby, where you're trying to get the ball in the middle, and then when you collect the ball, you have to take the ball to the other side, and then capture their net. Or that's sports, everybody.
Yeah, Ryan does.
Isn't that how rugby works? No, you shoot everybody with space guns until you know, and use your warlock powers. No, you have to take the what they call the orb of power, sci-fi people, and take it to the rift of the opposing team, and that scores you a point. And it's all round-based.
Okay.
That was really cool. But yeah, PvP is all matchmaking. It's really cool.
I'll do that tonight.
Cool. Yeah, I think you'll dig it. It's I like the team stuff. I'm not a big free-for-all guy. I like to have other players who know what they're doing on my side to kind of follow along, you know, like meat shields, basically. And then when they've, you know, worn everybody down, I just go in and be like, pop, pop, yeah, we're good.
Okay, so I have a question for both of you.
Sure.
It is now September 23rd at almost 9 p.m. I'll probably have to wait till October to pick this up for budgety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is this an Animal Crossing question?
No. Oh, okay. No, it's not. So, that's a week from now. Actually, no, it is an Animal Crossing question. You're right. So, that's a week from now.
Right.
If I pick it up a week from now, do you, Ryan Murphy, and you, Janice Edwards, think that you would still be playing Destiny a week from now, or is this just going to fizzle out?
I don't know. What do you think, Janice? Should we not play in a week? What do you think? Should we have fun for the next week? And then once Jocelyn shows us the receipt, it's like, it's not fun anymore, guys.
Yeah. Jocelyn killed it by buying it.
What do you think, Janice? I think I know my answer. I think we could stop torturing her now.
Yes. I'm going to keep playing it.
Yeah. I'll like still it. Be playing it.
You say that, Ryan, and I don't believe you.
Look, let me just say it this way. This
Mario
is a game.
Golf all over again.
No, it's not Mario Golf, because this is more. There's more to this game. I've finished the main story content of the original game, and then done the first expansion. I have the second expansion and all of the Taken King. And from what I hear, there is a lot of endgame content where after you finish all the story stuff, you can go in and play these really fun raids, not raids, but strikes and heroic missions, where you just go in and do the strikes over again with your friends and shoot stuff and get loot and rinse, repeat. And lately, I've actually been appreciating the fact, like last night, I went in and just played PvP, they have a new mode called, not a new mode, but a mode that they introduced in one of the expansions called Prison of Elders, which is my favorite type of mode, which is a horde mode. And I just did that for like an hour, and before I knew it, it's like, well, I only had an hour, so I can't even do story stuff. So I think I'll still be playing in a week, because I'm not finding myself drawn straight to the story stuff, not because it's lame, but more so because I just want to experience all the things. And then I'm picking up my bounties. Notice how I didn't say the D word, because I know that seems to throw you off, but
yeah,
bounties, and then collecting those and using those to dictate what mode I do. So it's like, get 7 kills in the Crucible. It's like, well, I'll go into the Crucible and shoot some people and then collect my quest and check it off. And it's just...
So they're varied enough that even though they're dailies, you're doing something different every
day. We don't call them dailies anymore. We call them bounties.
Whatever, they're dailies.
And you have PvP bounties, you have Crucible bounties, and you have the other ones, which I can't remember, which I've been picking up.
Yeah, so there's Crucible bounties, and then there's just, I don't even know what, yeah, you're right, I don't even know what they're called, but Vanguard bounties, maybe, because that's your, like, main story vanilla faction. And that's the other thing, Jocelyn. You can grind for rep for factions. I know how much hate the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Why didn't you lead with that?
But it's so fun to grind for faction rep. I just, you cannot even sense the sarcasm in my voice. but it just, in all seriousness, it just happens as you're playing the game. And sure, there's some rewards for getting the faction rep up. But the real meat of the fun in this game is... the gameplay, the shooting, the back and forth with your enemies, whether they be AI controlled or human controlled, you know, getting that shot off, getting that force push off to kill your guys, like just survive long enough to refresh your health. It's that 30 seconds of fun that Bungie dictates that makes this game so much fun. I lost my train of thought there, but I really dig Destiny, and it feels weird to praise it so much a year later, but really it is about getting rid of the things that were really bothering folks when trying to enjoy this game. Like, oh, I really want to enjoy this game by focusing on my bounties, but I have to quit the mode I'm doing, go all the way back to the tower, turn them in, and then go all the way back to the Crucible to do more stuff. And that process takes 10 minutes, 15 minutes, depending on whether you're like really snapping through it. But now you can just in between modes, hit the options button, go over to your bounties and just go click, 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 all done, back in. Oh, I'm matched back in. Let's go. You know, it's just super quick. Mm-hmm. And the story just is weaved a lot better now, where they're giving you quests and introducing you to what you need to do next. And like Janice said, they're giving you class-specific quests, like get 5 knife kills, you know? So, I don't know, it's just, again, like you said, loot 2.0 that gave you that extra boost in usability in Diablo and Destiny.
For a couple of weeks, anyway.
Yeah, but it definitely made the game better, where you were getting more loot, you were getting more rewards for basically clicking like a madman, you know? Mm. It's the same thing in Destiny. Like, you're still just shooting stuff, but you're getting that extra piece of reward quicker, hence the 30 seconds of fun ruling, right?
Fair enough. So we're also going to be playing it. We're probably going to talk a little bit more about Taken King once we do all the endgame content. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, once you decide to pick it up... we'll be talking a whole lot about it, and I will make a promise right here at Janice as our witness, and she will write in and say Ryan was absolutely correct in what he said and he lived up to his bargain. I will touch base on Destiny each week for a little bit just to let you know that I'm still playing.
All right,
sound
fair
good
enough.
This is not going to be Animal Crossing. This is not going to be any 3DS game that I ever recommended you. Again, it's not going to be like that, I promise.
All right. So before we move on to our topic of the week this week, I just wanted to give a shout out to our patron of the week. It is Will G this week, so thank you so much for supporting the show. If you would like to be a patron of The Gamers Inn, you can go to patreon.com/TheGamersInn and help us out. And we have all kinds of really cool stuff brought to you by the patrons, which we will talk about a little bit later. So we have our fall and holiday releases that we're going to be talking about, because there's a lot of really, really cool stuff coming out in the next 2.5-3 months. So a lot of the stuff that I'm excited about is, not surprisingly, in November, but there's some really cool stuff coming out in October, including, we've got Rock Band 4, but really, is anyone excited about Rock Band 4? Anybody?
That's the reason I threw it in there. I want to know if anyone's really interested in buying Rock Band 4 or Guitar Hero Live for that matter.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I used to love it, but
I think, well, when I used to love it, it was when it was first out and it would have been my fourth year university. And so I was living in a house full of people. And so then it's fun. But when you're just like living on your own and stuff and sitting in front of your TV playing Guitar Hero, not really kind of. Or Rock Band of One.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it doesn't have the same like camaraderie that it did, you know, back 10 years ago or whenever that was. Not quite 10 years ago.
The last time I would have purchased a giant box of plastic toys would have been last week when I got that shipment from Amazon. But if we're talking strictly about Rock Band 4, I haven't bought a Rock Band game since university when, like you said, lived with, you know, a bunch of other dudes, or people for that matter, and play video games. So I think it's run its course for me, but for those kids who are in college and university now who haven't experienced that sort of situation with other people, like playing Rock Band in university and in college were some of my favorite moments where we were all just hanging out, singing and jamming and listening to these songs that we loved and being able to interact with them through a video game. It was a lot of fun. So if I was back in that situation, I think I would be really looking forward to these titles, but right now it's definitely not on my radar.
Yeah. What about you, Janice? Did you ever play any of the kind of like rhythm guitar band games?
Yes, a friend had Rock Band, and then I do have various and sundry Guitar Heroes.
And yay or nay, are you looking forward to the ones coming in October, or is that just going to be kind of another meh, whatever?
Rock Band, no. I'll have to look at Guitar Hero Live and see what it is. I have a bunch that I would like to play through first. It depends on the songs.
Ah, right. So that actually dictates whether or not you pick up a Guitar Hero, is what kind of songs and music they've got going on. I guess that makes sense. Like, there's no point in buying a rhythm song game if you hate all of the songs that are in it.
Or don't know all of the songs.
Yeah.
That's also a possibility.
What if they let you buy the songs that you know?
Ooh.
That's the thing, is with Guitar Hero Live, I think you're getting a slimmer availability of songs, but it's more, the reason it's called Guitar Hero Live is that you're buying a service, and then basically you can stream songs that they're offering for that month, is from what I understand how it works. And in that way, it's kind of, it's very different from Rock Band 4. It's less of a, here's all your songs for this title and we'll push out DLC once a week. Whereas Guitar Hero Live is like, this week you're just going to be able to play some Smashing Pumpkins and Foo Fighters. Next week, I don't know. We'll see. but Guitar Hero Live is something that you'll be able to play on pretty much every platform under the sun. So that's a big plus there. Whereas Rock Band 4 is more limited. I think it's only next gen, or current gen, in that matter. Mm. I think you can get Guitar Hero Live on your iPhone. So maybe that's where I'll play it.
Play it at work when I'm bored.
Yeah, there you go. Like Hearthstone down for maintenance, Guitar Hero Live.
One thing I am really excited about in October is the Uncharted Collection, since I'm new to the whole PlayStation ecosystem. I'm really excited to get my hands into this because, I mean, everyone, when I'm like, oh, should I get Xbox, PlayStation, when I was still having that debate, just, oh, have you heard of Uncharted? Because
it's exactly how I sounded, by the way.
Oh, completely.
Spot on.
Completely.
Yeah, that's how I sound when I was, oh, have you heard of The Witcher 3? It's an adult game for adults. It's like, what? What are you talking about?
Is that the one with all the boobies?
Well, there's some, all the boobies. You know, there are characters that walk around that don't have those. So, come on. Although Val were here, she'd be like, you could have sex on a unicorn. And I'm not going to do the French accent because that would just be mean, because I do a terrible French accent. But Val knows what I'm talking about.
Yep. But yeah, so the Uncharted Collection is coming October 9th. I'm excited about it. Janice, you just picked up a PlayStation as well. Or is Uncharted something you're going to look into?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
I have a PlayStation 3, and I had Uncharted on PlayStation 3, and I have another friend that just totally loves the Uncharted series. So yes, I'll probably pick that up for 4.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Civilization Beyond Earth is also coming out that same day. The expansion Rising Tides, obviously. Civilization Beyond Earth is already out. I haven't gotten into this Civilization nearly as much as I have Civilization titles in the past. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
we played a little bit. But for whatever reason. I played a little bit. I played a few matches, but like when, and it's probably just totally a function of time, because I know when Civ 3 first came out, I played, God, I don't even know. Like, that was pre-Steam, pre-slash-played type stuff. But
you don't want to know.
No, I don't want to know, because I sunk so much time into that game. And then 4 came out, it was pretty cool, and I played a lot of that. And then 5 came out, and I was kind of like, eh. And then Beyond Earth came, and we played.
We did a game night, I believe.
We did. Yeah. We did do a game night. I'm like, I know you and I played something. And yeah, I think you're right. I think it was a game night. And that might be the last time that I played, and pretty much the only time that I played Beyond Earth. So
yeah.
It's kind of unfortunate, because Civilization is just, it's one of those kind of games that I don't get to actually sit down and play very often, because it's such a huge time sink. And especially in an era of, you know, like I had Warcraft going on. I was playing a ton of that. Hearthstone, obviously, like, Hearthstone is so digestible. Like, it's like, I have half an hour. What am I going to do? I'm going to play a match or two of Hearthstone. Like, I'm in and out. But you can't just in and out a Civilization. It's like, you have to sit down, and it's like, if you're going to do that, it's like a crazy D&D session. Like, you have to, you sit down, and you are there for hours.
Yeah, that's a title that I can't. Civ 5, like, would take away entire weekends, and I'm like, you know what? That's my $40. I'm happy to step away. I don't need...
I played for 1 week, and it was $40 of entertainment. Now I can never touch it again.
I grew facial hair while playing that game, and I never grow facial hair. So that's how long I sat and played that game. It's...
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So,
are you a Civ fan at all, Janice?
Nope.
No, not ever. Not at all?
Oh, not man. At all.
That makes me so sad. Just because, like I said, I loved it so much that when I hear people that haven't played it or don't like it, I'm like... No.
She's gonna play Uncharted, which is
that's true.
I'm not gonna say superior, but it's definitely the more approachable game.
Yeah, that's true. Civ is, especially now, it's gotten quite complicated, and there's a whole bunch of different systems in it, and a whole bunch of different things you have to earn, and resources you have to balance, and tech trees, and plus you've got all the combat as well, and it is way more complicated now than it was back in my day. So
yeah,
I can see how it would be, you know, kind of a bit of a barrier to entering a Civilization game now if you don't have that love of it from, you know, 10 years ago sort of thing. So
it can be a tough one to jump into.
Yeah, I think Janice, are you a Nintendo girl? Do you have a Wii U or anything?
I do have a Wii, yeah. I have a Wii, not a Wii U.
Oh, yeah, see, I have a Wii as well. I don't have the Wii U. So, Ryan, you are the only one who could potentially be excited about Yoshi's Woolly World.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm into cute things. Are you guys into cute things?
I'm totally into cute things.
Yeah. I mean, if you've seen that Yoshi Yarn Amiibo, you might just want to pick that up.
I did see it. It's really, really adorable, and I definitely thought about getting it, and I'm like, Jocelyn, you don't even have a Wii U. What are you thinking about getting Amiibos? You're an idiot.
Yeah. Oh,
these are the conversations I have with myself.
Don't be so mean to yourself. Amiibos are cool, and you should buy as many as you can, is what I've always been told. But no, Yoshi's Woolly World, I played it a bit when I was in Toronto for that event. It was a lot of fun, and it seems like it would be a cool platformer, but for me it's more about how long it'll be able to stick around, considering what it's surrounded by. I might have to veto that title just because it's so close to Uncharted Collection and a lot of these other titles we're gonna touch on, but the Wii U could use a dusting off, and I always like a good platformer, and this one seems to be more tailored to your average gamer as opposed to the other cutesy looking platformers that Nintendo's done, where they're more curated for the younger crowd. Like Kirby's Epic Yarn was basically I don't know, like a E for everyone for a reason. It was very approachable, was very simple.
It was easy.
It was fun though. Like, the, you know, just because it's easy doesn't mean it's not fun. It's just, it was very easy to get through, and you were done in a weekend. It's like, oh, okay. Whereas Yoshi's Woolly World might be a little more involved and something like a Mario game where it's easy to start.
I was going
to
say, so that's kind of where I'm going with this, is you're talking about needing a platformer. Are you already done with Mario Maker?
Like, no, I'm not.
This is what happens to you.
It's, I know.
Been like, what, a week or two since Mario Maker, you were all, yay!
I mean,
and now,
like,
you're like, I need to dust off the Wii U. Have you not touched it?
I know that you're right. Like, I was looking. This is the book I was looking at because I just unpackaged Mario Maker, and it's basically this booklet that comes with your Mario Maker, and it contains like codes for levels that Nintendo has designed that you can input and unlock them just by like reading through this book. And and like I said, it's an infinite Mario making game. Like, you could log in and say, I feel like playing a platformer that was more like Super Mario Brothers. Like, okay, I'll jump in and play some Super Mario Brothers levels. You know, it's a constant server of amazing platforming goodness. So yeah, you're right. But there's no woolly worlds in Super Mario Maker, Jocelyn.
I see. So what you basically need is a woolly skin over your Mario Maker.
Yeah, and the best part is you can scan your amiibos in Yoshi's Woolly World, and that unlocks cute-looking woolly Yoshis memed after whatever amiibo you scan. If you scan a Mario, that Yoshi will have a Mario skin, but made out of wool. Again, sarcasm. I see. You're right. I should probably Uncharted. That's going to be the game that pretty much eats up my October.
Really? Because there's also an Assassin's Creed coming out on the 23rd. So are we at the point where we're just exhausted with this Assassin's Creed? Are you still excited about what's going on there? Feelings? Thoughts?
I've played all of them except for Unity in the main series. And I have Unity now on two platforms thanks to pack-ins. But
Unity is the one that came out last year with France, right?
Yeah.
That's the one I haven't. I've played Black Flag, but I haven't played Unity.
I want to give it another shot, but that means I probably, because I'm this linear completionist, I would need to finish Unity, even though Syndicate has nothing to do. Like, Ubisoft has basically recognized the fact that people aren't going to be able to play all of these games for the story every year. So they've removed.
So they've just eliminated story.
Well, not
just like, here's a new place for you to stabby stab people.
Well, basically, they haven't removed story. They've just removed the connecting tissue. Like, in the first three games, there was like Desmond, who was the constant character. And then for whatever reason, they decided to just be like, you're a programmer and you go back in time. It's all good, you know? Stabby stab France people, you know? Like,
stabby stab the France people.
Yeah. You know, back when they, you know, there was a lot of stabby stabbing going on. It's a historical masterpiece, really. I don't know. But Jack the Ripper, like, you can play as a male or a female character this time around. So Ubisoft hired people who knew how to do that. Like, they said it was too hard last year. So kudos to them for sorting that out.
Janice, are you excited about Assassin's Creed?
Yes, I need to get through Assassin's Creed 3 and build up to it and Black Flag. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. My cats like when I play downstairs on the recliner with the console.
Ah.
And so they like to be playing Destiny, even though it's a game I'm jumping up and down. They like to sit on my lap when I do that. So I'm going to have to pay more attention to that and give them more attention. And so, yes. And I need to do that really quickly because then Halo 5 comes out. So.
That was going to be my next question. Do you have an Xbox, and are you going to pick up Halo 5? Because everyone knows that I'm not touching Halo 5 with the 10-foot pole.
That's my fault. Sorry, everybody.
Yes, I will be picking up Halo 5. I have an Xbox.
Good, good. Sweet. So what's your favorite Halo game out of the whole series so far? This is a test.
It's not a test.
I have no favorites.
No, Jocelyn, your favorite is which one you hated the least, which probably
I was going to say, which one did I get through quickest?
Halo 4, because then you like turn it back into...
I did. I managed to actually turn Halo 4 back into EV money. Within, like, I think it was, I want to say it was the first week, might have been the first 5 days, but they had like a special program going on at EB where it's like if you turned your game back in within a very, very small period of time of the release window, the game only, it was like renting the game. I think I got $45 back or something like that. So normally when you recycle a game and turn it back in, you only get like half the value at best. And I ended up getting almost the full value for Halo 4 back. I was just like, nope, I want dollars. This is crap.
they're great games. The people who love Halo really love Halo. So
I think I was just, because we did and for those of you who are new to Gamers In, we did Road to Halo 4, which I was not, I'd never had an Xbox. I was not a Halo person. So we played every single Halo title leading up to Halo 4. And I believe we did a different title. Was it once every 2 weeks or was it actually once a week?
We actually did the math where it was like every 3 weeks because we did every Halo game. We did ODST, we did Reach. If we had just done the main series or maybe even picked and choose like the ones
I don't know, because one of the different ones, it might have been ODST, was actually the one I enjoyed the most. Was that the one you had the squad?
Yes, ODST is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's my favorite too.
Yeah,
that's the one that I really enjoyed. The other Halos were kind of meh to me. I didn't. I think I was playing through them too quickly to actually care about the story at all. And Sweep in the chat room is saying, ODST, why did you suffer through that? That's so funny.
ODST is straight up the best one. It's got the best music because it's different. You play four games in a series and then get to ODST and it's just the complete opposite of what you're used to. And that's when you really get to showcase... I feel so strongly about ODST, but
we won't get way into all of that. But I think that that's why is we did that for months. That was what I was playing, was just all of these old Halo games leading up to Halo 4. So when I finally got to Halo 4, I was just like, oh my god, if I complete this in like 3 days, I literally played it over a weekend. And I was like, if I complete this, I can get most of my money back. So I'm just gonna power through, and then we're gonna talk about it, and then I never have to Halo again.
Yeah, and that's why I usually give you like a heads up when we're like, hey, if we're gonna play like Until Dawn or Life is Strange for this episode, let's give you like 2 weeks. So you don't have to do that.
You have to treat me with little kid gloves now.
Not kid. I wouldn't even. No, kid gloves is not what I'm. It is. It's more just, you know, I don't like rushing through a game. I remember when we did Mass Effect 3 and it's like, you have to beat it by this amount of time or else we're just going to spoil the whole thing. And I'm like, God. So I had to rush. Not rush. Well, I went a little quicker than I would have normally gone through it, but I finished it. But no one likes being under a deadline.
With Mass Effect 3, I never felt like I was under a deadline because I was playing through it so quickly anyway because I couldn't put it down. I never felt like I was like, oh my god, I have to finish Mass Effect 3. It was like, oh my god, when can I finish Mass Effect 3? Like, I need to play that game. And I didn't feel like that with Halo. Like, I really just did not care about the story of Halo. Yeah. And it's probably because it was just so condensed. If I'd actually picked it up and been playing along with everybody else, it probably would have been fine. But I'll be fine to just check out YouTube and get the story because... I have this obsession that I have to know. It's very like OCD of me. Once I start a story, I actually need to know how it ends. Even if I hate the story, even if absolutely terrible. Yeah, no.
Are you going to YouTube Halo 5?
I watched True Blood start to finish, and I hated that show after episode 2. And I watched it all the way just to see how it finished. I know, it's like an OCD thing. I can't just like let a story just be out there without knowing the ending.
And people, wow. Okay, well, we're going to have a discussion. Because it's funny, like going through university, I'd rent these terrible, terrible games. And Kearney would be sitting behind me and it's just like, why are you playing this terrible Sonic game? Is that boss super huge and now you're flying and you have a helicopter friend? I'm like, yes, it's terrible, but I have to finish it because I have to finish it. So, Kearney, I hope you know what you're getting into. You're going to have to watch True Blood.
I'm done with True Blood.
But what if they come out with a spin-off series called Truer Blood?
Truer Blood.
But really, the whole point of this conversation is confirmed Road to Mass Effect Andromeda happening.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
For a second, I was still in Halo space, and I was like, Road to what? No,
You hear Road to blank, and you just kind of like... What? No, we're not doing that again, Ryan. What if I said Road to Life is Strange Season 2? Unacceptable. Yeah, not happening.
No more roads, Ryan.
No more roads.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
We don't want roads.
Oh, man. So that pretty much does it for October. In November, this is where things start to get really interesting. We've got all kinds of awesome. We've got Call of Duty Black Ops 3. We've got Fallout 4. We've got Rise of Tomb Raider. We've got Legacy of the Void. And Star Wars Battlefront. So out of that list, what is the thing you are most excited about, Janice?
It's a tie. Call of Duty and Legacy of the Void.
Oh, nice. Another StarCraft fan. I love it. So they're two completely different games.
Yeah, so which is why it works.
It's a tie? What was that, Ryan? Sorry.
Sorry. I was just saying, which is why the tie works. I mean, it because they're so different, you can, you know, jump. And they're both very smaller experiences in the grand scheme of the other games that are listed here. Like, you can jump in, shoot a little bit, jump out, go be a psionic warrior dude for a little bit doing this for some reason. So yeah, those
are
solid
picks.
That's
totally how they fight. Like, they're speedbagging. That's a thing.
They are speedbagging.
I'm a huge StarCraft fan, so Legacy of the Void in November is what I'm looking forward to. Although Call of Duty, like, they're all amazing titles. They're all ones I'm gonna pick up and play. Like, yeah. November is just gonna be probably the craziest month of my life ever. Like, that's literally everything's happening in November. We've got BlizzCon, we've got Extra Life, we've got a move. I've got a move, not we have a move, I'm moving. And then, you know, we've got all of these super awesome titles that are coming out, and I'm just like, I don't even know, man. I don't even know. I don't know how I'm going to juggle all of this.
Yeah. I mean, this right now for me, I look at the slate of games in November and I'm just like, I'm not going to be able to play any of these titles come January. So I'm going to play all of them now. but maybe not Call of Duty. I'm not a huge Call of Duty fan, and I know everybody's all gung-ho for Battlefront. I am intrigued by Battlefront, but I want to see it release and see how it does. I'm not as hardcore a Star Wars fan. I don't think you're a hardcore Star Wars fan either, Jocelyn, are
you? No, I think we're both in the same boat. Yeah. I didn't see Star Wars until I was about 20, so yeah. I didn't have the crazy childhood. Like, literally everything that could possibly happen in Star Wars be like exciting or surprising had already been spoiled for me by pop culture. So, you know, the whole like, I am your father thing, I was just like, yep, I've known that since I was 12, even if I didn't know where it came from. Like,
yeah, like, so, everybody knows that. But
yeah, everyone knows all that kind of stuff that came from the original Star Wars. Yeah. So I never had that connection to Star Wars the way a lot of my nerd friends did. So
yeah,
Star Wars for me is kind of meh.
Yeah,
sorry.
I wouldn't say, like, sorry, oh, man, it's such a, I hate when people do that. It's bad. It's like, oh, come on. It's Star Wars. It's probably one of the most popular franchises in existence. Like, we can give it a little more credit than meh. But I'm super excited for the new movie, but the game is just, I'll watch other people play it. And I know, like, James, super excited for Star Wars. But yeah, the prequel trilogy was, it came out when I was more coherent to these types of movies. My father's not a huge geek, so I never really watched a lot of Star Wars. It was just sort of there. Although my mother was huge into Star Trek. She watched Next Generation like it was going out of style. But this list, like, Fallout 4 has me intrigued, but it's another one of those, like, huge, giant, sink all your hours in, and I've been doing well with those this year. I mean, The Witcher 3, I totally beat it in a week. But Rise of the Tomb Raider is the reason I picked up an Xbox One alongside Halo 5. So I'm really excited for Rise of the Tomb Raider and obviously Legacy of the Void. But
obviously everyone should be excited about StarCraft.
Yeah. Well, I have to play Legacy of the Void.
Yeah. The Protoss campaign is going to be so interesting. I can't wait to see how they tie that whole thing together. It's just, and every single time I see a trailer for that game, I get goosebumps. Like, my life for hire. I'm like, yes. Oh my God. It's going to be so good. Saying.
Yeah. It's one of those titles that has been, the story's been being told since, like, for the last 8 years, I guess. And even before that, not including just StarCraft, or the original StarCraft, but just the trailers leading up to the release of StarCraft 2. Like, that was a good 3 years from announcement to Wings of Liberty. So, we're looking at 10 years of, like, StarCraft 2, and it's crazy that we're finally getting a conclusion to this story, and I don't know how they end it. Like, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I don't know either. Crazy. And the thing is, like, they're so good at all of the cinematics and everything else. Like, the storytelling, even though it is an RTS, which generally you wouldn't think would lend itself to such deep storytelling, they do such a good job with everything that's, like, in between each of your little campaigns that it's just like, it's like watching a movie alongside playing a video game. Like, it's just, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Man. So good. So that brings us up to December with Just Cause 3 and Xenoblade Chronicles. Are you guys excited about either one of those? Because I'm actually kind of excited that December isn't crazy game heavy, because I can just take all of November's and have it bleed into November. Yeah. All of November's have it bleed into December, when I actually will have lots and lots of time to play and stream and have fun.
Yeah. I mean, Just Cause 3 looks to be one of those like awesome sandbox type games, type experiences, great for streaming. So you two like looking to get into streaming, like this is a title that is something that you should definitely look into, because it's just like a madhouse. And those are the best games for streaming, where you're going to get a different experience each time you play it. So
yeah, that's true.
With Just Cause 3, you have the grappling hook and the open world, and it's totally worth checking out. I'm interested in it, but again, like it's another one of those open worlds, and unlike most people who will just be happy to get in and cause mayhem, I'll actually want to finish the story. And it's like, that's getting dangerously close to put everything down video game related mode and pick up an iPhone in one hand and baby in the other. So, but we'll see. Although then I wrote down Xenoblade Chronicles, which is a Wii U exclusive, massive open world RPG fantasy Japanese game. So
how Japanese is it, Ryan?
It's very Japanese. There's like giant robots and giant dinosaurs and giant swords and giant 13-year-old girls, and it's just, although I think they actually retconned and made the weird 13-year-old girl actually 15-year-old, which I don't know how that makes it better, but I guess they have to retain a bit of the Japanese.
Oh, man.
Again, Val knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Val would know stuff. All of the answers to all of our anime questions.
Anime, yeah, exactly. Next time you ask, what is Xenoblade Chronicles, it's anime, I think.
Yep. I think.
Yeah. But it's a Wii U exclusive, so it's funny when you look at this. Like, if you look at this, there are three titles on this list coming out on Wii U. The rest,
which is crazy,
are everything else.
Yeah.
PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So that's pretty sad. Yep.
They were doing so well there for a while, too.
They were. I mean, like, this is going to probably be their worst holiday season, considering last year they had Smash, and the year before that they had Super Mario World. So you look at this, and they don't have that title, which was because Zelda got delayed, and now Star Fox got delayed. So, yeah, Yoshi's Woolly World's been out for months in Europe, and Xenoblade Chronicles is a super Japanese game that will be tough to gain traction over here. But it's nice that they're putting it out for us. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Very, very cool. Well, I am looking forward to basically our fall holiday season in gaming. Legacy of the Void's gonna be so good. I want it now. Technically, I have beta now, but I'm not playing it. I'm just kind of waiting for the full release.
Isn't that just multiplayer? It's so though? Good.
Well, yeah. But even then, I want to be surprised. I was just chomping at the bit to get it, and then I got it, and I played a couple times, and I was like, I need to just. Let it go. Just wait. So I just wanted to remind everybody before we move on to our listener feedback, we have game night tomorrow night. That is at 8 p.m. Eastern. We don't actually have any game suggestions yet. So if you are a patron, you are the reason that we do game night. So head on over to patreon.com/thegamersin. The post is up, and make sure you put in the comments what you want to see us play. Also, we wanted to remind you guys, it is Extra Life time. Oh my God.
It's happening.
So we have a bit of a conflict because Extra Life actually falls on BlizzCon. So November 7th, Ryan and James are actually going to be doing something. They're going to stream for a couple of hours to kind of get in on that Extra Life hype when it's actually happening. But the Gamers In 24-hour event is actually going to be the following weekend. So that will be November 14th. So we will have, again, our 24-hour stream. We'll be streaming on AMOVE. We'll be streaming on our personal channels. We'll be all over the place doing all kinds of things. We'll have a full schedule up for you guys on gamersinpodcast.com. That will probably be up as soon as it's finalized, which will be later on in October. We're really looking forward to. We've got a lot of guests coming on. We've got a lot of games to play. We are going to have a ton of fun. And we are going to raise a whole heck of a lot of money for the kids. So last year, I think we came pretty close to $3,500. So we're going to try to top that this year. And yeah, so if you'd like to donate, do we have a Bit.ly link this year yet? Have we
not done that yet? We don't really have anywhere to point them, but once we get the preliminary stuff set up, some folks still have to set up their profiles, but once we get all the preliminary stuff done, we'll start sending
links
out.
By some folks, you mean me, don't you?
You and James. I mean, I jumped the gun, as I always do, but like,
Ryan was like way back in July. Okay, guys, so
August, come on, cut me some slack here. I'm not that bad. It was August, and I, for one, look forward at other people's schedules and see like, oh, okay, James is starting a new job. You're going to be moving, going to a wedding, doing BlizzCon, streaming full time, which is after, you know. Anyways, we're all very busy and picking up other projects while we go, including we didn't even talk about our D&D thing that we did, which I should have.
That is true. We did a really cool D&D thing. So teasers for next week, we'll talk about our super fun D&D thing. But Extra Life, November 7th and 14th. There will be all kinds of really cool content for you guys. So as soon as we have the donation link set up, we will post that, and you guys can help us out with our Extra Life campaign again. It's a ton of fun every year,
and so much fun.
You guys watching, I mean, it doesn't feel like work. It never feels like work. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm also really looking forward to the Sunday after when I can just sleep. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I think I have company coming that day.
dumbass.
Well, it wasn't my doing. And last year there was life events that occurred that same day as well, which was out of my control. But I don't know. Like 4 hours of sleep is good enough. So, you know, we'll be fine.
Yeah. So we did get an email this week from Mike, who was talking to us about the Bloodborne expansion. He says, just excited about the announcement of Old Hunter's expansion to Bloodborne. Wondering if you guys are excited as well. I recently dove back into the game and have made it past Rom, the spider boss, and the game completely flipped on me. Makes me wonder how long this game really is. Have either of you gotten into this game, or did you miss it?
Yeah. Janice, have you played any Bloodborne? Actually, you just got your PS4. Are you interested in Bloodborne, I should ask?
Don't know yet. I need to do. Okay. I heard Patrick talk about it today, so I just need to do a little bit more research and look at it. I don't know, with all the games that are coming in October in 2 weeks, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, Bloodborne's one of those interesting titles that, to me, and this isn't saying much, it's a more accessible Dark Souls. So Dark Souls is this very punishing series, and I know a lot of people who play Dark Souls like, it's not punishing, it's rewarding, Ryan. It's like, no, anything that kills you every 3 seconds is punishing, and not poor game design, but just I hate the people who are playing this game design, if you kind of catch my drift.
Yeah.
Bloodborne's a little more accessible in that you feel like you're actually more empowered over your enemies, as opposed to having your enemies being more powerful than you are. So that being said, I was into Bloodborne and really enjoyed what I had played of it, but it was never a title I ever anticipated or even wanted to finish, because again, you're going to get to that point where, and the story is very Japanese. It's very incomprehensible. Like, you don't know what's going on. There's some weird things turning into blood, other things that shoot lightning out of their face and have weird canes and top hats. And this is just from what I'm remembering. So this could just be poor memory, but anyways, they're coming up with an expansion. And I remember we had, actually Kearney was on and we talked about Bloodborne. He's finished it like 6 times. So he's super into Bloodborne. I wonder if he's excited about this expansion, because he loves to punish himself with video games. Isn't he like, he's like playing some other stuff too. Like, he loved Dark Souls. So
yeah, he's an odd one.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, it's all good. I'm interested in the expansion. It does look like to be more story focused and more weapons focused. So they're adding a bunch of, if you watch the trailer, they're adding a bunch of cool new weapons. And that's the one thing that I really enjoyed in Bloodborne, was that the weapons were just really imaginative and really cool, and they flipped out really cool. And it's just really, really neat. So I don't know. Anyone who enjoyed Bloodborne is probably really looking forward to the expansion.
I remember looking at the reviews of this game and thinking, oh, that actually might be something I could get into, because I got probably about 10 minutes into Dark Souls and just wanted to snap the disc in half. So, but then I remember reading it just basically that Bloodborne was similar, but it's like they fixed all the things that were really frustrating about Dark Souls in Bloodborne, but it's still exactly the same sort of a game.
Yeah, so it's the loot 2.0 patch. Of Dark Souls.
So I remember wanting to get into it, but I think I'm going to have the same sort of problems, and I think it's going to be that way for anything that comes out with an expansion anytime soon. It's really hard. That obviously doesn't apply to Legacy of the Void, because I really feel like those are standalone games. Like, those don't feel like expansions to me. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's going to be really hard to get excited about an expansion for something when there are so many big, huge titles coming out in the next little while. So expansions are cool, but I think I'm going to keep my gaming time to some of the more like full-blown games.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I will see a lot of Bloodborne in my near future, because I'm sure that's what Matt's going to be picking up.
Well, you could try it.
That's true. That's true. I could give it a shot. So yeah, I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. Janice, thank you so much for joining us. Yes, it was a wonderful treat to have a new voice on the show. It doesn't happen for us very often, so thanks for coming on. Just one more time before we go, where can people find you? Your Twitter, your Twitch, all that fun stuff. Pimp all the things.
Twitter is at Lady Deathstrike, LDYSTRK. Excuse me, I spelled that wrong. LDYDTHSTRK. And Twitch channel is Lady50, LDY50.
So again, thank you so much for joining us. Again, guys, Janice came to us as part of the Alpha Geek Indiegogo. So again, if you want to support Alpha Geek, you can do so anytime. You can go to their website and throw them a donation. We should be getting, or Alpha Geek should be getting, a whole bunch of new equipment to help us streamers give you more accessible content. So we're really excited. Thank you so much, Janice, for the support of the network.
Yes,
it means so much to us.
And if you need a third voice...
Yes. Anytime you want to come back, we haven't scared you away from the whole podcasting experience.
Nope, this is fun. Talking about games.
Yeah, right?
We've already made a pact that we're going to keep playing Destiny. So when Jocelyn buys Destiny and we start raiding and doing our bounties and our crucibles and our reefs and our prisons of elders.
I'm just saying, when I pick it up in a couple of weeks, if you guys are still playing, it will be a miracle. Not so much you, Janice. I believe you. It's Ryan that I think is full of shit.
Yeah, oh, come on. Well, okay, I have a terrible track record with sticking with games, I will be honest. Mm-hmm. But Destiny's got its hooks in me, so we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMU TV, along with the other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMUVTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email us and let us know what you think about Destiny and The Taken King, you can do so by emailing us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. See you guys next Wednesday.
Bye.